Tim Corbin joins us now, Vanderbilt head baseball coach. What's going on this morning?
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Good. I don't guess it's not a big deal for you to play a Black and Gold Series game opposite the American League playoffs tonight, given that it's the Yankees and the Angels.
Yeah, I guess I have no selfish interest in that other than maybe seeing the Angels win. But outside of that, not really.
Why the hate, Timmy?
I put that one on a tee for you, Tim.
Not much hate. I like Mike Scioscia, though. I like how he is with his guys. He's got a calmness and an approach that's appealing to me, but for the reasons of what they've gone through. So I'd like to see them win. Not really nothing to do with the Yankees, though, Mark.
Well, strategy-wise, what do you think makes Mike Scioscia such a good manager? Because I agree with you. I think he's one of the best there is.
Well, I think he's proactive with his guys in a good way. You know, I think he forces things to happen sometimes in terms of the base running, which doesn't apply to all teams that play. And I just think that he makes the most of good players like a guy like Figgins and certain guys that I don't know that on the if they came open on the baseball market, I don't know how appealing they would be to other teams, but he seems to get guys like that and make them play. And I don't know, he just got a way about him that's just appealing to me as a coach.
What about David Price, the way he finished the year, which was by beating, in fact, my brother went to the game in Tampa, St. Pete. He beat Sabathia and the Yankees. And it's kind of David kind of had an interesting year, Tim, much better at home than he was on the road. But how would you summarize his first full season in the big leagues?
I think it was pretty good, actually. I think, and he would look at it that way, too, in retrospect. I think at the beginning of the year when you have the expectations that he did, you know, from himself and maybe from other people, especially after the playoffs, that he would come in and, you know, maybe be a 15-16 game winner. And if you're involved, that's very difficult proposition right there. That's tough to do. So I think as the season progressed, I think he learned a lot, which he would. He's a sponge. He picks up everything. He's very perceptive. If he knows what to improve upon. But I think the biggest compliment to him was Stuart Sternberg, the owner, who came into town a couple weeks ago to see his son, who's a freshman here at Vanderbilt. He said as the season was winding down, he said all the vets were ready to close it down. He said David was ready to keep going. He still wanted the season to continue. And that's just a sign of a kid that's starting to feel good about himself and wants to continue on how he felt on his last outing. So hopefully that'll move into the winter training period for him. And I think he's going to continue to get better and better.
Tell us about the Japan trip, how that all happened and just what the outline is for it.
Well, it stemmed from a conversation with David Williams, a few years back in terms of trying to travel as a team somewhere and not knowing that it would be Japan. We were more along the lines of thinking, you know, Cuba or Dominican Republic or something like that. And then we had an alumnus, Bill Kay, who was a former tennis player here at Vanderbilt, who really has followed our program very closely. He does business in Hong Kong, and he just mentioned this trip to us, and we didn't really have any funding, so he took ownership of the trip and made it available to Vanderbilt, David Williams, and ourselves, and we're really looking forward to this. This is a situation where we're going to get to play four college teams that are national championship caliber over there, like an LSU or any other team in the SEC, and we're going to get to play over there for, you know, I guess, 6 days, four games in 6 days, and then get to travel through the country and then go to Hong Kong on the far end of the trip. So it's going to be nice over Thanksgiving break. So this will be a good trip for the kids.
Do you kind of, huddle up, you know, with the folks with the Japanese colleges and say, okay, here are the ground rules for bats and other sorts of things that are going to be involved with the series?
Yeah. The person who I know is kind of an ambassador over there who I've met doing the USA thing. And when we went over there and played them and they came over here, got to know him well. So he's kind of putting this together for us. And it's a wood bat situation. So after we get done with this Black Gold Series, that's all we'll put in our hands for the rest of the fall and winter is just the wood bat. But their college system is a little bit different than us in the fact that they play year-round, where we take a break in the summer and play in summer league. They don't. They stay with their college team. So they're from a fundamental standpoint, my expectation is what I saw on the national team status, in which they're very skilled. much like what you see at the big league level. Maybe not as physical as what you see, but the thing they can do is they can really, really pitch. And they pitch with a lot of pitches, and they throw strikes, and they make it difficult on you. Play a lot of small ball, so it's a lot different than maybe playing Cuba or the Dominican Republic, where there's a little bit more power and a little bit more flair. These people are very skilled at what they do.
When you evaluate players, how much do you take into account what they do in some of the, you know, the summer leagues? You know, I know guys go up and play in Cape Cod or, you know, wherever it might be, but how much do you take that into account when you're trying to put together your team for an upcoming season?
Well, I think it plays big. I mean, one person that comes to mind when you mention that, Kemo, is Jack Armstrong, who, you know, pitched not a lot for us last year, and he goes to the Cape Cod League this summer and is a starting pitcher in the All-Star game at Fenway Park. And, you know, his velocities are, you know, 94, 97. But the thing about a big kid like that who's 6'7", is your first impression is big kid, power arm. Well, one of his best pitches is his changeup, and he's got great feel of it. But just the progression he's made over the course of the summer against very good talent only plays deep for him in terms of his confidence. And he comes back here, and his thought process is, now I fit in, you know, just because of what he did during Cape Cod League. So I think guys like he and Sonny Gray, who did very well with the USA team, and other kids on our team who have good summers, it really helps us out a lot.
Tim, what about the Japanese way of teaching baseball? It's a lot more regimented. It's almost a totally different way of doing things. Do you expose your players to that?
Yeah, a little bit. They don't have a 20-hour rule, an NCAA 20-hour rule with them, so they practice quite a bit, and that's been very common among the information that I get back. But I think the thing that they do well is they put the ball in play, they can bunt, and I think pitching and defense is paramount. They can certainly pitch, and they play defense. They all have good feet. They know how to use their feet. They all have short arm action when they throw, which, you know, the ball doesn't stay in their gloves very long. They communicate well. I think some of those things that I saw back in 2000 when I first got to see them, and then 2006, I try to bring to the table with our kids and show them footage and film of how other countries approach the game. And I think it, you know, to see that from our perspective is really good, because there's a certain way to play defense, and there's a certain way to use your body language and your voice to help communicate through an infield and play defense. And those are the things that I've probably applied more to my team than anything else I've seen. Their hitting approach is a little bit different. It's more of a get out of the box and make contact in the same way, which, you know, more American guys are more, you know, power oriented, stay on the back leg, hit through the baseball more, and then worry about running after, where these guys typically are put the ball in play and go.
Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin is our guest. As far as developing pitching philosophy, how much do you let guys kind of develop their own? You know, say a guy like Sonny Gray, do you let him, you know, he's so talented, you let him do what he does versus you saying, okay, we want you to work off this pitch, or, you know, you need to be throwing this in this situation or that sort of thing?
Well, I think when it comes to mechanics, Kevin, you let them go a little bit. I mean, it's kind of the Lindstrom theory, where a guy like that is so good at using his weight distribution and his force to create down angle with his fastball and to create a hand whip, so he has that type of break on his breaking ball. And Sonny has some of that. I mean, Sonny's kind of a mix of a Lindstrom, an Oswalt, kind of that fast twitch, smaller guy that's got a very, very quick arm. Now, Sonny's kind of like a blender, where once he throws the ball, he spins. He gets a lot of torque, and he kind of spins off the mound, which sometimes it's a good and a bad, because he doesn't finish his pitch a lot. But at the same time, he because he spins like that, he develops a lot of arm quickness and sometimes hand rotation, which allows him to throw a hard breaking pitch. So you got to kind of walk a fine line. But that's, you know, Derek Johnson's very good about that. And, you know, all those pitchers are different. And sometimes you got a funky guy in which you say, I want to do that. But the funky guy sometimes creates deception. And deception at the college level is big, because a lot of college hitters aren't balanced. Not like the pro hitters, where they're very balanced in the box and you can't fool them. But you can fool college hitters if you've got some deception. So I think you got to walk a fine line with kids and let them go a little bit, unless you see a mechanic that could be a flaw that could end up hurting their arm.
As far as the Black and Gold series, give us some things to watch for this weekend, and who's impressed you so far?
Well, we played last night, and Jack Armstrong and Sonny Gray pitched, and they were pretty good. Then we play tonight at 6, we play Sunday at 1 o'clock, and we play Monday and Tuesday night at 6 as well. But it's a five-game series. It's just seven-inning games. Good precursor going into Japan. Who's impressed me so far? Andrew Giobbe, actually, and Kirk Casale. Kirk Casale, as you know from last year, had the Tommy John surgery. He's just coming back now, and hopefully we'll get him behind the plate. So he's playing some first base right now until we can get him behind the plate. But he's a very good hitter. He's one of the top hitters in the SEC. And Andrew Giobbe, it's his fifth year here, as it is Brian Harris. Very rarely do you get guys back in your program for 5 years, and that's going to pay tremendous dividends to our program. But both those kids are going to be leaders, and then we got some younger kids too. But just kind of learning with the rest of the coaches on what these guys can do and what we need to improve upon.